Our scripture passage for today is a great one for evaluating where we stand with God, whether we are near to Him or far away. First, this passage of the Word of the Lord describes lives that were at one time far away from God. Then, it reveals that these very same lives were brought near to God. Last, it tells us the basis upon which these people were brought near to God. Actually, at the same time, it reveals the basis upon which any person can be brought near to God. For some of us, this study in the Word of the Lord will be an opportunity to remember how far away we were from God and how it was that God brought us near to Himself. But for others of us, this will be an opportunity to understand how they also can be brought near to God. And that even this very day. In Ephesians chapter 2, at verse 12, a description of people far away from God. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. These words begin with a call to remember. Remember that you were at that time. The you is the Christian community. This letter, of course, was written to the church at Ephesus, to the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ at Ephesus. And the Apostle Paul addressed them in the name of the Lord. Remember that you were at that time. This word is a word addressed to Christians. And it concerns a prior condition. Remember that you were at that time. A word to believers about a condition in which they once found themselves. The condition they were in is described in three very shocking words. Separate from Christ. Separate from Christ. It is important to remember our spiritual condition before we came to the Lord. It reminds us of what we are without Him. It reminds us how much we need Him. Remember that you were at that time, before you met the Lord, separate from Christ. It's good to remember the grace of God in finding us where we were and bringing us where He wanted us to be and on the path toward where He wants us to end up. Remember. Is it that long ago that you can't remember where you were before you met the Lord? Wherever you were, your spiritual condition was separate from Christ. No one just grows up by the heritage of family and friends or even of a church and automatically is right next to Christ and walking with the Father above. This is where we all start out. Separate from Christ. Separate from Christ. Apart from Christ. Alienated from Christ. At a great distance from Christ. For anyone who knows anything at all about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what He has done for us, what He can do in us and with us. It's a staggering thought to picture oneself separate from Christ, alienated from, cut off from the one in whom is the fountain of life and blessing from God above. Separate from Christ. That's where we were. And our lives were distinctly in trouble at that time because we were separate from Christ. Alienated from the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world for all those who would believe. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. And then there's some elaboration on what it means to be separate from Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. That is, not a part of God's chosen people, those who had promises from God, those who had a hope of help to come from the Father above. Israel, a nation, not special in and of itself, but special because God put His hand upon them and chose them to be the channels through whom He would bring the light and the glory of His salvation out to the world. Before we came to Christ, we were even excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, most of us. Very few of us here are of the seed of Abraham, physically speaking. It might be one or two or a few among us who are from a Hebrew background. If so, God just blessed you all the more with a heritage. But for most of us, we were even excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't have a citizenship in the nation that had the promises and the hope. Not that being in the nation automatically put them close to God. In fact, if you remember when Jesus came to the earth, those who confronted Him the most strongly and rejected Him the most brutally were the religious leaders of the chosen people. Just holding citizenship in the nation did not bring one close to the Lord, but at least it brought them close to the promises. It brought them close to the message. But for most of us, we were even excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. And to bring it up into very current circumstances and situations, many of us, when we were separate from Christ, weren't anywhere near the church of the Lord, who today carry the promises and the hope of the gospel out into the world. Back at this time, these Gentile believers in Ephesus hadn't even been a part of the nation of Israel to hear the hope of Israel. Many today aren't even near the church to hear the hope of the gospel. I know many of you were nowhere near hanging around the church of the Lord when all of a sudden God found you separate from Christ and began to reach out to you. I grew up in the church. That didn't make me automatically a part of the family of God. In fact, it was not until age 25, after hearing the gospel for that long, that I actually turned and responded to the Lord. Separate from Christ, they were even excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. They weren't even a part of or hanging around those who had the message. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, and because of that, strangers to the covenants of promise. Strangers, aliens, foreigners, when it came to the covenants of promise. It's recorded in the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, verse 3, that through Abraham, God would bless all the nations of the world. All the nations of the world. Abraham was a pagan, an idol worshiper among pagan idol worshipers. God called him out and said, I'll make a great nation of you if you'll just follow me. And through you, I'll make it possible for all the nations of the world to be blessed. Galatians 3 makes it clear that that promise had to do with the promised seed, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And through that promise to Abraham, a Savior would come for all who would believe. But, let's remember that we were at that time, before the Lord, strangers to such things. Before we came to Christ, we weren't living in the hope of a promised Savior. We were living in the hope of a promised lottery or something. I mean, our hope was not fixed on the Lord. It was that next big business deal or that next person we might meet that would make life everything for us. We were aliens. We were foreigners when it came to the covenants of promise. And we were those having no hope. No hope. It's got to be the most difficult place to live with no hope. If you've ever been in a spot, in a moment, where you thought it was hopeless, it's literally like dying. And often it hangs on, and it's like dying 1,000 deaths. It's a hard place to be without hope. They say you can live without food a good while. Most Americans can only take that by faith. We don't know what it is. They say you can live less without water. But really, you can probably live much less, I mean really live, without hope. When there's nothing but despair, impossible to live. Was it Thoreau that wrote, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation"? Why is that so? Because they have no hope. There's a desperate despair inside, hidden beneath a couple of beers or a football game or a party or working a little harder at the job, but there's a desperate despair deep down inside. That's where we were before we came to the Lord, having no hope. No hope, no expectation, no anticipation that something can happen to make life right. Not only now, but forevermore. That's where we were. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, therefore having no hope. And right along with that, we were without God in the world. We lived in the world. And we were of the world. The world is a place of vanity, of temporality, of disappointment, of condemnation. We were in it and we were of it. Christians are still in it, but they're no longer of it. But remember that you were at that time without God in the world. The world is a place of vanity. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. Everything is vanity. It's all vain. If we're living without God and all we have is the world, it's just vain. It just seems pointless. No matter what you do, it just comes up empty. Without God in the world, in a vain existence. And it's so temporal. Why do people get so uptight when they notice they're aging? Because of the temporality of the world. We know it's just fleeting away. And if that's all we have, it drives panic to the heart. If that's what we're living for, we feel like we're losing what we have. Seems like especially every new decade, people go through this panic. 20, no longer a teenager, panic. 30, no longer in my 20s, I'm getting old. 40, my goodness, I'm advanced age. Next month, I'm 50. Wow! Most of your life's behind you, Bob. Grab it. Don't let it slip away. Stay 49. Be an eternal Jack Benny. You know, go back to 39. Why do people feel that way? Because they're living for the world, and the world is so temporal. Without God in the world. With God, it changes everything. He's eternal. We have eternal life. What's the passing of another year? What's the passing of another decade? It's 1 year, it's one decade closer to home. Praise the Lord. What is there to fear? It's 1 year, one decade, maybe we learn some more things in the Lord. Thank God for the chance to press on. Who wants to hang on to this temporal world? It's so brief. God created us with an eternity to dwell in. What possible significance could 75 years or 80 or 85 have to hang on to? It's a tough place to live without God in the world because it doesn't hang around long. I can't believe how the years fly by. This year seemed 3 months long. Did they pull a few months out of this year? It's amazing. I can remember when a week used to be forever. Now a year is 3 months. The world is so temporal. How awful to live without God in the world. It just seems like it's running away from you, running by you, and all you're given is almost nothing. But the world is also a place of great disappointment. Oh, the heartaches, the heartbreaks. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who was sinless and pure, who never did wrong, who always pleased the Father, had heartaches while He was here. He hurt, He bled, He cried, He groaned, He sweated drops of blood. I mean, this world is never going to be the place that we're going to be fully satisfied and fulfilled. It's a sin-sick, distorted, twisted, painful place. Oh yes, there are many blessings, praise God for that, but they are only because of God. And we're remembering that at that time we were without God in the world. Also, this world is a tough place to live because it's a place of condemnation. The whole world system is under the judgment of God, the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 and following says is already being poured out on the world. Oh, some face eternal wrath because in rebellion and self-centeredness they will not turn to the Lord. But that's wrath yet to come. Wrath is already being poured out. This is a world under judgment. So many of the things that happen among the affairs of mankind and even in individual lives is judgment for their godless rebellion. The world is a tough place to live. It's a place of condemnation and wrath. And remember that you were at that time without God in the world. Existing, but having no relationship with God. Listen, if we have to spend some time in this world, and we do, for good reasons, to reach the world, to be molded and shaped by God as we walk through the world, to serve the Lord now in preparation for eternity. There are reasons to be here. But to be without God in the world is an awful place to be. If you have to be in the world, the only way to be there is with God. But remember that we were at that time without God in the world. Can you remember what it was like when you were far away from God? Well, I sure can. I sure can, though it was nearly 24, 25 years ago that I turned to the Lord. I can remember. Oh, I can remember. How awful it was to be separate from Christ. Not even a part of the family that had the promises. Not even around them, really. My mind elsewhere and often my body too. aliens to all the promises God made to mankind. No hope. The path I was on, there was no hope of it ever getting better. In fact, it kept getting worse year by year. I started kind of rebelling in a super special self-centered way in my teenage years. Didn't stop for 10 years. Every year got worse. By the time I was 25, I mean, bankruptcy probably was the one word that would summarize my life. And I don't just mean financially, though I was certainly on the edge of that financially. I mean morally, spiritually, relationally. Bankrupt. And having no hope and without God. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. It's good to remember that. It's good to not forget where we came from. It helps us appreciate the Lord. It humbles our heart before the Lord. It reminds us of what we are without the Lord. For if He were to withdraw His presence and His hand from our lives today, where would we be? Wouldn't take us long. We'd be right back where He found us. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, far away from God. However, verse 13 speaks of being brought near to God. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near. I love those first two words of this verse 13. But now. We've thought for a few minutes of what it was like to be far away from God. And we were, at that time, before we met the Lord, far away from God. We might have been fooled in thinking we were closer than some to God. But if you're in a line, a million miles from God, what difference if you're in the head of the line and you're 3 feet ahead of somebody else? I mean, that's far away from God. The comparison isn't us with others, it's us with where God is and where we were. And we were far away. And I don't think I was at the head of the line anyway. Far away from God. Verse 13, but now. But now. Let's talk about now. Now is going to speak of a great transformation, a great change. Oh, a big mess then, but now. It makes me think of the first two words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God. You remember what precedes those two words? And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, but God. Don't you love that? What a black, black picture that is. Until you put that one stroke across the canvas. But God. Dark, dead, ugly. And then this great stroke of brilliant light. But God. That's what we're reading about here in a new way in verse 13. We were separate from Christ, but now, in Christ Jesus. That's all the difference in the world. The first verse centers around the phrase separate from Christ. The second verse we're looking about centers around in Christ Jesus. Now there's the difference of two universes. One darkness, one light. One death, one life. One despair, one hope. One deadness, one resurrection life. Separate from Christ, in Christ Jesus. That's all the difference in the universe. That's all the difference in eternity. Every single person fits in one of those descriptions. Separate from Christ, in Christ Jesus. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, but now in Christ Jesus. I know the only thing glorious about my life, maybe you'd say this too about yours, is that now I'm in Christ Jesus. When formerly, I was separate from Christ. And everything about my life before was somehow an explanation of I was separate from Christ. Now everything, but now in Christ Jesus, all things are made new. There's forgiveness where there was guilt and condemnation. There's hope where there was despair. There's purpose where there was vanity. There's an eternal inheritance where there was eternal judgment coming my way. I mean, you just contrast those two. Separate from Christ, but now in Christ Jesus. And it's a universe apart. Once separate, now in. Now Christians, now joined to Christ, now living in His light and love and forgiveness and fellowship. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, we who had no relationship with God at all, no relationship with God at all. He created us, and we, like all other sheep, went astray. Each of us turned to his own way. Instead of pursuing after the Lord, we pursued after our own interests. All of us did, Isaiah 53 reveals. We had no relationship with God, separate from Christ, excluded from the people of God, strangers to His promises, no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near. Have been brought near to God. What a glorious revelation. Now we have a relationship with God. Now we are close to God, as close as a child is to a parent. A relationship is there with the Father above. Now in Christ Jesus, we can talk to God. Instead of just saying His name and it being in vain, we can actually talk to Him. We can pray to Him and He listens, like a parent to a child. We can hear from God. I used to hear people read the Word and it would just anesthetize me. It was like just putting Novocaine in my brain. You know, it would just, if I needed to sleep, just let someone read the Word to me. Not from the peace of it, but from the boredom of it. You know? Made no sense whatsoever. Now, I can hear from God. Formerly, I was far off. He spoke, I didn't hear. Now I can hear from Him. Now I can sit down and open the Word and listen to my Father in heaven speak truth and life and love and hope and encouragement and strength and direction. Every day, anytime. Can hear from God. Have a relationship with God. Brought near to God. Now I can learn of God. You can learn of God. If you were one who was far off, now brought near, you can learn about Him. You can begin to understand Him. See what He's like. Have others share their walk with Him and you go, oh yeah, I understand that. I know God does it that way. Yes, because you've learned of Him. In other words, you can live with God day after day after day after day. Where once you were far off, without God, in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near. Near speaks of intimacy and relationship, and praise the Lord for what has happened to us because of Christ Jesus. This great change from far away from God to brought near to God. You notice the real contrast in these two verses? Staggering contrasts. Far away, brought near. Separate from Christ, in Christ Jesus. You were at that time, but now. Tremendous contrast. And all of that is true of us for one reason. Jesus Christ is now in our lives, and all that He is and has is ours. And people who were strangers are now children. The next little word, the next tiny word in verse 13 begins to show us the basis upon which we were brought near to God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. How did we, who were far off, how did we get near to God? Well, your dad was a preacher. That's how you got near. No. All the time he was preaching, I was rebelling. I wish you could just hand it on to your kids, don't you? Here, sign here. It's yours, you know. Or don't sign. I tell you it's yours. Or your dad is a Christian. You're a Christian. Don't you wish it were that easy? It can never be. We're not brought near to God by some relationship with a human being. Who was it that said, God has no grandchildren? Get it? I mean, they're all children. Begotten of Him, not begotten of someone else who was begotten of Him. Brought near by the blood of Christ. By this and only by this. Not by someone passing it on to us. Not by resolutions. Not by resolving to be a different person. Resolution will never bring us near to God. Oh, as people look at us, they might think it shifts our place in line toward God. Overlooking again the fact that the whole line starts a million miles away from God. I mean, what difference does a resolution make when you're far off from God? Religion won't bring anyone near to God. Religion is ritual activity trying to climb to heaven. Religion won't bring anyone to God. What religion are you in? Oh, my religion's better than your religion. Well, if you're standing up religions in a line a million miles away from God, okay, maybe one's a little better than other for some reasons temporal. But religion is a million miles from God. God wants us not to have religion, but relationship. Oh, but I'm going to church all the time now. I grew up in the church. I didn't know that anybody didn't go. When I played with my friends, it was at choir practice. While my folks were, my mom was singing in the choir, playing her saxophone in the orchestra. I didn't know that all kids didn't play crawling around under pews. Religion doesn't bring us close to God. It just leaves you far away. In fact, sometimes it reminds you how far away you are if it's got a little bit of light in it. Trying our best doesn't bring us near to God. Now, well, I'm disgusted. My life has been a mess. I'm telling you, from now on, I'm going to try to be a better person. I mean, the old classic cliche, what more could God ask than that you try your best? We are so dumb. You know that? We're so blind. We make God so petty, we bring Him right down to our level. As if we're talking Him into a way into glory forever with Him. Sure, people, that's all people ask. You know, just do your best, that's all I ask. God has asked far more of us than that. He has asked us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Oh. You mean best effort won't cut it? You mean the standard is perfection? Yeah, and that's why all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Be ye holy as I am holy, not give it your best shot like I did. Be ye holy as I am holy. None is holy but God alone. We need God, not just the best effort. Brought near by the blood of Christ. Have you ever balked at that? You might be balking right now. Search my heart, O God. Make it ever true. I don't know what's going on in your heart right now. God does. I read that now and I like the ring of it. I used to hear it and I didn't like the sound of it. Sounded kind of bloody, sounded kind of gory, sounded kind of overkill. You know? That's because I underestimated my need. I just wanted a little boost. I didn't realize I needed a resurrection. I just wanted a new bent to my character. I didn't realize I needed a whole new nature. Brought near by the blood of Christ. Not just the teaching of Christ. You ever heard anyone say, you know, bringing Moses and Jesus together, I just live by the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. You know, whatever Moses got on Mount Sinai and Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, it's good enough for me. It is in the Sermon on the Mount, actually, that Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It was in conjunction with what the Father revealed on Mount Sinai, the law, that God said to Israel, be ye holy as I am holy. The teaching of Jesus Christ will not bring us in itself alone near to the Father. That's just moralism. That's still, we're going to save ourselves. Listen, if you really pay close attention to the teaching of Jesus, it tells you how far off you were or are from God. It's not a way in itself to be brought near to God. Oh, it speaks of how to be brought near. But if we're only taking the teachings of Jesus and trying to implement them the best we can, again, we might have shifted a little upward in the line that starts a million miles away from God, spiritually speaking. Also, brought near by the blood of Christ, not by the example of Christ. Some would say, oh, Jesus, greatest man who ever lived. What a walk he had with the Father. I'll take that as my example. I'll do it the way he did it. I'll walk close with the Father. Oh, we don't know how far off we are. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, way off, excluded from the things of God. No one can do it exactly like Jesus did it. He never sinned. The Scriptures make it very clear, all the rest have sinned. His example won't bring us near to the Father. Oh, it's a glorious example. We can look at it and say, oh, God, may I live more and more like that, and ask for God's Spirit to lead and guide us in that direction. But His example won't bring us near to the Father. Brought near by the blood of Christ. It took blood. It took death to come near to the Father. See, sin is far more serious than most of us think it is. We live in an I'm okay, you're okay kind of a society. Hey, I won't bug you, you don't bug me. Hey, I'm not so bad, you're not so bad if we just give each other room. Well, these are just human relationship games that people play to somehow cope and get by another day. We're talking here about how to move from far away from God to be right next to God. And it takes a radical solution. Because sin is a life and death matter. To rebel against God kills the spirit of man. And he needs some remedy that opens up the glories of a resurrection life. And forgiveness from God must precede that. The Scriptures make it clear, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Why? Because Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin isn't stand a year in the corner. Then I'll give you another chance and we'll see if you can make it or not. The wages of sin is death. Deadness of the Spirit kills any possibility of relationship with God. It kills the Spirit. And the day you sin, your soul will die, God said to Adam and Eve. And they who used to walk with God in the garden in fellowship, as He shined His presence among them, after they rebelled and went their way, God came to fellowship. Where did they go? Running to God? No. They ran and hid. They sensed the alienation, the deadness that sin had brought. The wages of sin is death, brought near by the blood of Christ. He had to die. Because the only just penalty for sinning against an eternal holy God is a loss of life. It's a true death sentence. It's the greatest crime in the universe, to sin against God. And it brings the greatest penalty, everlasting separation from God. Eternal life is to know God. Not knowing Him, dead unto Him, greatest penalty in the universe. But there is a remedy. We can be brought near by the blood of Christ. But only by the blood of Christ. God's sinless Son dying in our place opens the windows of heaven for mercy, forgiveness, and new life. In sinning, we owe God a forever death penalty. We earned it. When Christ died in our place and we put our trust in Him, the justice of God is satisfied. God isn't a compromiser. He does judge sin, but He poured out the judgment on His Son. His blood was shed that we might have forgiveness. Those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have their sin problem removed because of what Jesus did. The debt is paid. And now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off are brought close to God by the blood of Christ. The gospel is not a gory, bloody matter. It's the truth that offers the only remedy for the gory, bloody mess we created when we sinned against the Holy God. It's God willing to step into the gore and the mess with us. And He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We're the ones with the mess. and willing to die, he came to clean up our mess. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, but now, in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. A concluding thought. Are you this morning near to God? That is, are you a child of God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know that you can talk to Him in prayer and hear from Him in the Word and learn of Him among His people because you're close to Him? You're now in His family. If so, you only were brought there by Jesus Christ and His death for you. Remember that you were far away. Now you're close. What do you do with that? Humble yourself before Him, thank Him, rejoice in Him, and let Him stir your heart to share with others who are far away the same way you were brought near. Perhaps some with us at this time studying and listening to the Word of the Lord are presently at this moment far away from God, but are perhaps here because there's a stirring, a drawing of the Spirit, a conviction of need, and inside you want to be near to God. You're sick of being in the world without God. You can be brought near the same way by the blood of Christ. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what He did for you, His death on the cross on your behalf, crying out, Lord Jesus, bring me near to the Father. I need your forgiveness purchased through your death. And you today, just through that exercise of trust in the Lord, can be brought near to God by the blood of Christ. Oh, this is a great, great two verses to evaluate where we are with the Lord. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Let's stand and pray and then sing a song of response to the Lord. Father, how we thank You this morning for the glorious truth of the gospel. Thank You for reminding us this morning, Lord, that we were at that time separate from Christ, so far away from You. Oh, how our hearts sing, Lord. But now, in Christ Jesus, how we thank You, Lord, that we're close to You. Lord, we thank You for dying on the cross for our sins. And though we were aliens and strangers and rebels, now we are at peace with a holy Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank You for Your peace that You've given to us. Peace between us and You. May we go forth, Lord, and announce that great message of peace. Peace You have given to us, we who now are close to You through the blood of Christ. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.